Steve, it's been a long time, man. It's good to catch up with you. Thanks for having me on.
It's too long. It's
Definitely too long. I hope you're well.
I am doing very well. And by the way, thank you for the very kind words. He sent a private message, which I appreciated very much. Okay, when you look at this team, okay, I'll do the Apollo 13. What's good on the spacecraft?
So as you know, Steve, you know, you watch enough football in your life to know that when things are going wrong, it's never one thing. I mean, the head coach gets blamed, the quarterback gets blamed, the barking dog in the background that you might hear is going to get some blame after this phone call. But there's so many things. There's so many things that, you know, I watched the tape of the game, the Browns game today. I specifically focused in on third down because the Eagles have been, that's really the root of their problems for the past 2 weeks at least, the inability to move the chains on the third and medium, third and long. And, you know, if I think there were 2 of 10, and I went through them. You know, there was probably 4 plays in particular where the protection was just so bad that Carson Wentz did not have a chance to make a throw. There were 4 plays where Carson hesitated too long where the throw was there. And then there were a couple of plays where there were just good coverage, and maybe you think that maybe a better route design and route concept would have helped. So you take the piece of the pie, cut it up, and you give a big piece to a lot of different people there. And that's what leads to an offense that is basically been dysfunctional for all year long. I mean, they have so many issues going on, and they're all interchangeable, and they're all woven into, you know, you can talk about Carson, his all of a sudden his regression being related to all the hits that he's taken. You can talk about him holding on to the ball as a reason he's taking the hits, and you can talk about play calling as and predictability there, and defenses knowing when to rush and what to do and how to cover.
When do you think his issues with some indecision began? Where you saw some signs of, you know, he's not quite the same decisive guy as 2 years ago. When did you start to see the signs of that?
You know, there were decision making is different than mechanics. From a mechanical standpoint, there were always times during Carson Wentz's career where he didn't have the best mechanics, but he had such tremendous athleticism that he could buy time in the pocket and he could do things that a lot of other quarterbacks couldn't do. But he's taken a lot of hits and some injuries, and so the mechanics element starts to creep up on him. And when your mechanics aren't great, and you're not trusting what you see on the field, which I think that has really started going back to last year a little bit when he had a lot of injuries to wide receivers, Alshon Jeffery, injured, and they were pretty much pulling guys off the street and asking Carson to win with these street free agents. I think that's where it started last year. But in December of last year, he was able to just say, hey, I got to trust these guys. Let me rip it. And he was able to rip it, and they went undefeated in the month of December, and they won the division again. But this year, even they've had so many different offensive linemen in and out, and a lot of different weapons around him in and out, that I think that's where the trust issues have restarted. And then that combined with the protection issues and some of the other things that have set the offense back have all kind of mixed into the cauldron here and added to his regression. But, you know, I think some of that can be overcome if you're more technically sound with your mechanics or your pre-snap reads of the defense are really on key. But he's always kind of been a guy who's, you know, that first receiver isn't there, then you try to get to the second one. If not, he can run and get out of it. But he doesn't do that as much anymore. And so all that has kind of contributed to a guy who's kind of, I think he's looking for answers, and then a lot of it is in his head because the answers aren't coming as easily as they used to.
You mentioned about the running part of it. When you hurt your knee, you might be a little more shy about running. Do you think that's possible it enters into his head?
Yeah, I mean, it was not just the knee, right? He came back from the knee, and then the following year, he wound up having a fracture in his lower back that they discovered halfway through the year. And then, of course, you know, last year in the playoff game, he got hit, you know, late, hard by Jadeveon Clowney in the back of the head, and that caused him to go crashing into the turf, and he wound up missing the only playoff game he's ever played in after about 10 snaps. So I think, in general, that and the hit toll that he's collected this year has just taken away some of what you used to see from him early in his career, which is an electrifying runner, a very good open field runner. I mean, there's times where he doesn't have an opportunity to tuck run now because he's getting swarmed. But I certainly think that when you watch him run, it's not as dynamic and explosive as it was in, say, 2016 and 17.
All right. But it's not just him. You need help along the way. How hurt has he been by an offensive line that is nowhere near what they thought they were going to have in August?
Very much so, Steve. I mean, I really think that, you know, if he had an offensive line that was at least reliable from a health standpoint, he would be able to at least understand certain guys, what their tendencies are, where their weaknesses are. But they have a carousel at almost every single position. A left tackle has really hurt them with Jason Peters. You know, he's a guy that I felt that they probably shouldn't have brought back because of the age and the decline. Eventually, it's going to catch up to you to the point where you're not even that guy, even close to what they thought you were. And he had some decent games when he came back from an injury, which, again, caused the shuffle, him being hurt. He had some decent games against Dallas and the Giants. But this game against Cleveland with no Myles Garrett, where he's matched up against Olivier Vernon and Adrian Claiborne, guys who have been in the league for quite a while but aren't, you know, what they used to be either. I mean, he was owned by them, and that was very surprising. And that really contributed to a lot of what was going on with the offense, along with, you know, at right guard, they haven't had Brandon Brooks, who's been out all year. He's a pro bowler. Right tackle, Lane Johnson, has been dealing with an ankle injury and a knee injury all year. He was in and out. I think they played seven different offensive linemen alone in that game against the Browns, and that was their ninth different combination in 10 games at that point. So, you know, anyone who knows football knows it all starts up front, and when you've got a carousel like that, it's never good for the quarterback.
Jeff, I know obviously Baker Mayfield did not turn in what you would call a stellar performance. I thought his progressive commercials were better than his on-field performance on Sunday. But did the Eagles in some ways play better defensively?
Well, they did, but they also, I don't want to take credit away from the Eagles. They definitely did an excellent job for three quarters stopping the run, and they were on the field too much because of the offense turning the ball over. But they also, Steve, you know, they played at times three or four linebackers. If they weren't going to play three linebackers, you know, if they were a nickel, they were still going to bring a safety into the box. I'm not discrediting their accomplishment at all, but they certainly sold out against the run, and they left some opportunities there for Baker, and he hit about two or three plays of 20, 30 yards. He also missed a couple of easy ones, as you're referring to. He didn't play great, but he played within himself, and he didn't make any and this is a guy who had 21 interceptions last year, so I think that their coaching staff, their new staff, has done a really good job of, you know, I don't want to call it hide the quarterback, but I think that they all know there in Cleveland that they gotta crawl before they walk, and they had no real offseason to get with him, so they're just doing what they do best, and they've got two unbelievable running backs and a really good offensive line, and that's how they're going to try to win games.
Right, exactly, along the way. But the division is, have you ever seen a division like this? I know the NFC West had that year where at 6-9, Seattle played the Rams. Seattle won. They ended up 7-9, Rams 6-10. Seattle got in, then beat the Saints in a home game when fans were allowed to be there en masse. But have you ever seen a division like this?
No. No, never. Never in my life. I think that the year you're referring to with the NFC West was interesting. And same thing, there was a year where the Panthers, with Rivera and Newton, I think in second or third year of Cam's career, made it in, won the division with a sub-500 record. But the least you could say that the Duncan were not even in it. But here is a case where all four teams really do stink, and all four teams are taking turns being in first place. And all four teams right now are telling themselves a chance to win the division no matter how bad it looks, which is shocking. I mean, Doug Peterson, who's just lost two straight games, lost five of the last seven, his team is 3-6-1, is sitting in a press conference saying his team is in a great spot. I mean, how laughable is that? But it's true. They're in a great spot because by virtue of a tie, they lead the NFC East over everybody else. It's unbelievable.
A tie was with Cincinnati, which had and was looked at as a disaster at the time. And I remember saying on the show, I said, believe it or not, that could determine the division.
It could. It did in 2008. They actually tied Cincinnati that year as well.
Yes. That was the one where Donovan McNabb wasn't sure of the overtime rules, if I remember.
That's correct. Yes, you are right. They tied. And then they were a bad team for most of that year. And then really, like many Andy Reid teams of the late 2000s when he coached the Eagles, they caught fire after Thanksgiving. They needed two other teams to win that year. On the final game of the year, they needed two teams to win, including the Raiders. That's how you know you really need something. You needed the Raiders to win the game. They did. And then they had to go out and beat the Cowboys, which they won 44-6 that game and made it into the playoffs as a division winner thanks to that tie that didn't count as a loss. It's unbelievable.
This whole thing is unbelievable. I feel like you're sitting there and you're looking around saying, really? I mean, you have four teams in the division with three wins. It's unreal. Now they got Seattle.
Three, and not only that, Steve, but like you're talking about four teams that in the history of this sport are considered, you know, the NFC East is what it is because you have four of the biggest market teams in the NFL and the deepest pocketed owners. And well, my God, these guys can't get it right at all. I mean, they're just really sad.
I mean, none of them have practiced taking a knee because they lose. All right, so now they got Russell Wilson in Seattle. Now, Seattle's defense, not that good. But Russell Wilson makes up for a lot of sins. What's your thoughts on the Monday night matchup?
So Russell Wilson is 5-0 in his career against the Eagles.
Yep.
So it's been quite a long time since the Eagles have beaten Seattle. And what the Eagles have really struggled with this year, specifically on defense, is the zone read. I think everybody remembers the Daniel Jones 80-yard, I can't call it a touchdown because the turf monster got him there at the 20, but
the 80-yard
later
whoops.
He came back. Yeah.
The 80-yard whoops.
And then 2 weeks later, he had the 35-yard touchdown on zone read, and then Lamar Jackson got him on zone read for a 37-yard touchdown. If you go back last year, Josh Allen got him on zone read. So it's, for whatever reason, this team has been very undisciplined. You know, Russell Wilson is a zone read master. He already has two zone read plays this year where he kept the ball and got 27 yards on one or 34 on another. So, you know, if you're out there in Vegas and you're handicapping this game, you got to think Russell Wilson's good for a couple of long runs against this Eagles defense. And given his record against the Eagles, you're either a believer in the law of averages, that the Eagles are going to finally win one, or you're a believer in history and precedent and think that this is Seattle's game to take.
I mean, then they got Aaron Rodgers and the Packers at Lambeau. Then they got Taysom Hill and the Saints. And then they got Kyler Murray and the Cardinals. Then finally they got the Cowboys and Washington in back-to-back to finish. I mean, if you're an Eagles fan, I don't think you see a lot of wins here.
I mean, you could realistically probably – it doesn't sound crazy right now and wonder if they're going to win a game at all the rest of the year the way they're playing. Now, last year, Steve, they were – they had lost three in a row. They lost to Seattle. They lost to New England. And then they capped it off with a loss to Miami. And everybody was, at that point, completely off the bandwagon. But the one saving grace is they were getting a little healthier. And then in December, they had games against the Giants, one game against Washington, one game against Dallas. And they had the whole division, and none of those teams were very good. So all they had to do was kind of show up and then beat Dallas in the one important game, which they did. This year, it's a completely different story. You're two games sort of under 500, and you've got the toughest part of your schedule coming up. Four teams that, although they're not all perfect, they all do one thing well, and that's score a lot of points. And the Eagles right now aren't scoring points at all. So to think that they're going to snap their fingers and be able to score the 28 to 31 points that you need usually to beat New Orleans and Arizona and Seattle and Green Bay is a really tough pill to swallow. It's hard to see that happening.
Well, Jeff, to you and yours, have a great Thanksgiving. We really appreciate the time you gave us today. It's been too long.
It has been. Let's not make it too much longer. It's been great. It's been fun. And I miss you guys up there, man. It's been too long since I've been back.
It has been way too long. Thank you so much. Have a great Thanksgiving, okay, bud?
You got it, friend. Take care. Yeah.